Travis.
Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's accurate.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
Got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning. TSN 1050.
So, here we are, an evening of football talk. And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show on Blog Talk Radio and Rouge Radio. Well, I've been reading some tweets or twits. I don't know which. Some people don't like the new format of Rouge Radio. I'm taking it personally. Wouldn't you? Then again, though, some people do like it. So we'll do it on behalf of the people who do like it. And tonight, you'll like it even more. And that'll be because we have some very interesting guests. Tonight, we have Brian Warishan, and he is of the BC Lions Den. For those of you on the West Coast, or as they say in the United States, the Left Coast. And we're not in the Right Coast because we're in the East Coast. So, you know, I don't know. Does that? No, I don't think that. Was that? Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. I got to tell you, the CFL this year is very, very interesting. I really do enjoy watching the Canadian Football League. And as Brian shortly will attest to, they even like it a lot out there in the hinterland of the Western Coast. Also tonight, Ryan Waters. Ryan reported that a football game in BC was, well, they made a determination that a Hamilton football player shouldn't have been playing. And we'll talk about that as well. That's the headline story on the CJFL. And we'll have him on the half hour, and that'll be at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, which is 8:30 Western Standard Time. And I guess 9:30 Mountain Time. And I don't have any time to tell you any more times. I'm getting confused even just thinking about it. Also tonight, we have a new guest host. That is correct. His name is Tyler, wait for it, Bieber. Tyler Bieber. No, don't go phoning your daughters now. There's no relation. One would hope, but I guess, you know, that would help me with my numbers, I got to tell you. So, but unfortunately, no, that isn't the case. Rather, tonight, Tyler Bieber is a football aficionado, and he will be sharing his, how shall I say, his knowledge and understanding of the game of football as far as the West Coast is concerned. Again, we are bringing both sides together. That is correct. I here in the East and the boys we just talked about from the West. And just to make things even better, we'll be talking to Mike from the South. So this is starting to look like a Beyonce TV show, but it's not because we're East, West, and South. So, as opposed to Northwest. So maybe we'll get right to her. But first, I want to remind you about why we're here. We're here because we are CFL fans. That is the Candid Frank Live Show fans. Wait, no, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say the Canadian Football League fans. That's what we are. And I know people get confounded by this, but I think it's a good idea myself. Let's see now. I like doing it this way. Now, some people don't understand, and my producer sometimes doesn't understand either. Why would you want to call on the air? Well, I call on the air because it gives you the flavor of the fact that, you know, we're actually doing this program live. And that, to me, is an important thing. And that dial tone gives you an indication, and you know that possibly we're doing this program live. Now we'll find out if someone answers when we. Hello. Is this Tyler?
Yep.
Hey Tyler, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
It's Frank of Candid Frank Live. So you want to give being a co-host a shot. So give us an indication of the information that you can give us about yourself that says you'd be a great co-host when it comes to football, the Canadian style, Canadian Football League, and, of course, being a West Coast guy. What do you have to offer that we might be very interested in?
Well, I know just about everything there is to know about the CFL and football in general, and bring a wealth of stats knowledge to the game, and I provide what I think is excellent and some of the best content that you can find anywhere on the internet when it comes to the CFL. Yeah, I mean, I'm passionate about the CFL, I'm passionate about football, and I think that I'm ready to, you know, take the next step, get off of Twitter a little bit more and into this kind of world and let it fly.
Perfect. And not only that, I like your name because it'll get us some people too. I'm not sure they'll be the right kind of people, but any kind of people will do. You know, the 18 people that are listening to the show right now are on the phone calling their children going, "Honey, there's a guy named Bieber on Frank's show." Now, you told me that a lot of people ask you the question, yet you're not in any way related to the great Canadian singer, Justin Bieber.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's
no relation as far as I know.
Well, I still want you on the show because we can never have too much knowledge about the Canadian Football League. Now, I got a couple of guys coming on a little later. We've got a CJFL guy, and we've got Brian of the BC Lions Den. The CFL this year has had some interesting moments. What would you
Absolutely.
Consider the highlights of this year so far? Well, you know, skim over them, and we'll get in deeper a little later, but, you know.
I would probably say the fact that in really just about every single game, the games haven't been that close themselves, but as a competitive league, it has been competitive. You know, like, there's games that are being decided by 16 points, and yet you still want to watch every single moment of the game because, as always in the Canadian Football League, you never know what's going to happen. And, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Hamilton and Edmonton played in Edmonton, and the game really wasn't even that close for the most part, and then all of a sudden here comes Edmonton and they start moving the football and they have a chance to win the game on the last play and the kicker misses the kick. And then at the end of the first half in that game, he Davis Reed bypassed kicking a field goal, which very well could have wound up being the mandatory points that you would have needed to win the game at the end of the game. So they don't let him try the field goal at the end of the half, and then they let him try to win the game, obviously, and he misses it anyways. But, I mean, the Canadian Football League with the single point with the Rouge, it's so unique, and it truly brings a different flavor to football that you don't see anywhere else. And so overall, I think it's just the fact that we've only had two games that have been decided within a touchdown, I believe, and yet you watch every single game to the end knowing that you never know what's going to happen.
Yes, and when you refer to the fact that the Canadian Football League is full of surprises, this year one of the biggest surprises, and a pleasant surprise, has been the fact that every year, you know, key players get injured. But this has been a very successful year for the number two players, especially in the quarterback position, for making a case for the depth of talent in the Canadian Football League.
Right. And quarterbacks usually one spot. I mean, you've had a little bit of trouble with Winnipeg with Buck Pierce and whatnot in the past few years, but it's usually one position that you don't really see a ton of injuries. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks back, you had Bo Levi Mitchell starting a game against Justin Golds for the Bombers, and then you had Drew Willey starting for the Riders and Zach Collaros for the Argonauts. And I mean, it couldn't have been better timing, especially with Ottawa coming back into the league next year. They get to take a look at all these young, talented quarterbacks, and, you know, it's a bit of an advantage for them because they get to see these guys in live game action ahead of time.
Yeah, and there's nothing that replaces, you know, live gameplay as opposed to practice and word of mouth as opposed to you know, sight and sound of how a player handles the pressure of actually playing the game. And I think the biggest thing about these young guys has been the fact that they've been prepared, which speaks well to the coaching as well in the CFL, especially under the condition where, you know, there's a tight rein on how much time coaches can spend with players in practice. So, you know, it's quite an interesting, you know, situation, to say the least. People like me even consider the fact that if you have talent, if Zach Collaros is the real deal, it makes you wonder whether they'll protect Ricky Ray or not. And I know a lot of people say I'm crazy saying that, but, you know, history is what history is. This year's been great that these number two quarterbacks have done well, but historically in the CFL, it's tough to get a good quarterback, and everybody knows having a good quarterback is most of the battle in having a good team in the CFL. Without a good quarterback, you can't really go anywhere.
Right. With Ricky Ray, though, it's a little bit more interesting just beyond that. I mean, he's been injured the past couple of years, and he has had a few more injuries throughout his career. He has a big salary, but, you know, I just can't see relinquishing the rights to a guy like that and opening them up to what will be a divisional rival, no matter what Zach Collaros has showed or what any quarterback has showed in their start. I mean, Ricky Ray, he's insane. You know, I mean, a 76% completion rating, that's unheard of in the CFL, let alone any football league. He hasn't thrown an interception this year yet. He's only had five starts because he did miss the one game with injury, but even against Montreal, he bounces back. He only has to throw 18 passes. He gets injured, which didn't really help his case. But again, he played well enough that they were in control of the game. He threw three touchdown passes, and they ran away with another win based on his incredible ability to move the ball fast, move the ball accurately, you know, hit his receivers, and just move the offense in a way that you don't see anymore. No matter how talented the quarterbacks in our league have been recently, with Anthony Calvillo setting records, you just don't see this anymore, and it's incredible. And I just can't imagine letting a guy like that be free, even if he is going to be 34 years old in October here. So he'll be 34 years old in training camp next year. But again, I can't imagine a situation where they let him go.
Well, like I said, I'm here to make sure that people have something to talk about, and I still think that's a good subject. You know, while I mentioned Ricky Ray, there are quarterbacks that, you know, after all, for the word is that Collaros will be a free agent at the end of this year, so they won't have to waste a pick on him. I don't know if Trevor Harris yet will see any action for the Argos to see if he rates the same kind of consideration that Zach Collaros seems to be getting. The other quarterbacks that you mentioned have done really well, and it's just great that we have that much talent in the CFL where, you know, a team shows up and then what could be a devastating injury doesn't take away from the interesting nature of a football game because somebody comes in and does a great job, maybe most of all when not expected to. So it speaks well of the CFL, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You roll back the clock to when Ottawa originally came back in 2002 as the Renegades. Their starting quarterback was Dan Crowley, and, you know, they couldn't ever get off the ground just because they couldn't get consistent play from their quarterback position. And then a couple of years into the project, they did get Kerry Joseph, but again, they just didn't have enough talent all around to get going, and eventually, obviously, it faded, and they had to fold the team again in 2005, at the end of the 2005 season. But not only the quarterbacks, but you look at all the talent level, where the talent level is across the board, whether it's the non-import players or the import players, and you can, I mean, they are going to have a field day picking these guys because there is an absolute wealth of talent across the board.
Yeah, that's this year, more than any other CFL expansion draft, the existing teams have really been put under a lot of pressure to really make some really, really tough decisions, no?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the BC Lions and specifically their defense, and you can only protect 10 imports in the first round. And, you know, it's going to be tough for them. They have some older players, so it makes for a little bit more interesting decision in that way. But, I mean, they have Solomon Elamimian. They have Adam Big Hill and Anton McKenzie in their linebacking core. You flip it over to the secondary, and they have Dante Marsh. They have Cord Parks, who has come on in his own this season in his first year in the league. They have Corey Banks. They have Caron Williams, Kareem Smith, Ryan Phillips. I mean, all these imports, and, you know, who do you protect? Who do you let go? And again, some of them are going to be free agents, so you're not going to have to worry about that anyways. But, and then you flip it over to their receivers. They have Emmanuel Arsenault. They have Nick Moore, Courtney Taylor. Guys that, you know, you're going to have to let somebody go. And those are guys that Ottawa is going to be able to build off of immediately. And they're going to, and I think they're going to compete at a high level right out of the gate just because they have they're going to have so many experienced CFL players already as it is.
Let's talk about the draft and how it works. Can I ask you about, you know, after the first round? Okay, the first round, they get to protect 10 on imports, right? So how does it work? So
right.
Ottawa picks one player from each team and then goes continually like that? So the first thing is they get to pick one player out of a team that protects 10 imports.
Right. Teams are allowed to protect one quarterback and then 10 more additional import players in the first round. And so Ottawa can take two quarterbacks. They can only pick one player from each team. And then there's a little bit of an added fact to this here. If Ottawa takes a quarterback, say they took Zach Collaros from the Toronto Argonauts, then the Argonauts would get to protect two more non-import players in the next round. And then if they took a kicker or a punter, say they draft, Rob Maver out of Calgary, then Calgary would get to select an additional non-import player to protect. So to recap that, they get to pick one import player from each team, and then they can take up to, but not exceeding, two quarterbacks in that first round, which will be all imports. You can't select any Canadians in that first round. It has to be all imports. One player from each team, one quarterback, and those teams get to protect one quarterback as well as 10 additional import players.
In the second round?
That's in the first round.
Okay,
second
first,
round,
second
you move
round,
on, and
Canadians
it becomes
run.
Canadian. Right. Second round is the Canadian draft to protect six guys out of the gate. But again, if you had a quarterback selected in the import draft, you get to protect two more, so your total would be eight. And then if you had a kicker or a punter selected from your roster, then you'd get to protect one, so your total would be seven.
Okay, and then in the third round, and now, how many players will Ottawa get to pick in the second round? One player from each team?
Yeah, again, they get to pick one player from each team.
And no more than one player in the second round like the first?
Correct.
So in the third round?
And then in the third round, they get to, each team gets to protect six more non-import players. And that's in addition to the second round, so you would get to protect a total of 12. But again, if a quarterback was taken, you would get to protect 14. But in the third round, you can only protect more import players if a kicker or a punter is selected in the second round. So if your kicker or your punter is selected in the second round, you get to protect two more players, like in the first round.
So, okay. If
you're the Calgary Stampeders again and Rob Maver gets picked in the second round, then you get to draft two more players or get to protect two more players in the third round.
Now, so is that imports or non-imports?
In the second round is non-imports. Third round is non-imports as well.
Oh, okay. All right. So this then, the second and third round gets to be more interesting as far as the Canadian players are concerned.
Right. At the start, you get to protect 12. But again, if your quarterback is selected in the first round, then you get to protect 14. If your kicker or your punter is selected in the first round, you get to protect 13. But if your kicker or your punter is selected in the second round, then you get to, again, protect two more players. So it's a little bit tough to follow when you're just talking about it. But
That's
basically...
and how many rounds? No, you're doing great. No, seriously. You're making it very easy to understand, especially since we didn't rehearse this. This is all off the cuff, which is, to be honest with you, this is how I like to do it. I find that when you rehearse stuff, you end up leaving a lot of the best stuff before the show. The third round, and then how many more rounds are there?
There's three rounds. So Ottawa will get to select 24 players, and then every other player that will be on their roster will they'll have to sign as a free agent.
Right, and there will be lots of free agents because the CFL is always loaded with free agents.
Absolutely. They get to participate in, obviously, the free agent period, which opens up in February on, I believe, the 15th or the 16th, one of those 2 days. But they get to sign players that are already free agents, like, say, NFL free agents or Canadian free agents that just don't have a team at the moment. And they get to sign those players, I believe it's early in December that date is, but... Yeah, so they get to select 24 players in the expansion draft, and then they'll get to sign a whole bunch more players as free agents and then build their roster that way.
Oh, okay, so the draft that we originally spoke to is, I think, in the middle towards the end of December, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe they planned it for December 16th.
There you go, the middle of December.
Which is a Monday.
So to get inside the mindset of what's going on in Ottawa, to get in there where the wheels are turning and the smoke is burning, early December or after the Grey Cup, let's start there, after the Grey Cup. Not long after, because the Grey Cup's played on November 24th, in a couple of weeks, the Ottawa Red Blacks will be able to start signing players that don't belong to anyone. And then soon after, a couple of weeks later, they will be drafting based on, players that they have options to pick, to complement the players that they've already drafted as they started their first draft this year with the CFL, and then the free agents that they pick. So things are going to get fast and furious for Red Black fans right away. It's going to be interesting. And right now the Red Black fans are really ready and chomping at the bit to get involved in the Canadian Football League.
Absolutely. I can imagine ever since they announced that Ottawa would be coming back, I mean, you're just ready to play football and see football games from the moment that announcement was made. And like you said, I actually pulled it up here from Jamie Dykstra, who is the CFL head public relations guy, and they can start signing players the day after the Grey Cup is played. So that'll be Monday, November 25th is when they can start picking up guys who don't have a current team. And then, again, the draft will take place on December 16th, and then after that they can go after CFL free agents, so that would be players whose contracts have expired, and that'll be on February 15th is when they can start going after those guys.
And then, as we learned on this program this year, the show began in the beginning of January of this past year, and I started a CFL show in January, if that makes any sense. But there still was plenty to talk about. If you're a fan of the CFL, there's always stuff to talk about. There aren't many opportunities like this program or, like you want to do as far as you know, tweets and stuff are concerned. It's good to have you here. I really do appreciate you being on, and it never hurts to have somebody who understands the inner working of the game. I like to think that I can cover the soul fairly well, but the brain doesn't work too good for me. So I'm glad to have a brain on the program. Tyler, I really appreciate it. Tyler Bieber, thank you.
You bet.
Now, I'm sorry, I apologize. Sometimes there's a hesitation in the sound. It's not you, and believe it or not, it's not me either. Yes, and thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Hey, there's lots of room. You know, there's lots of room. I mean, anytime I don't have to say anything, it's a good day for me. All right, let's it's 10:30. You're coming on at 10:30. Take a short break. We'll be right back. And you know, okay.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. 1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo.
Go Frank!
There you go, Frank.
There you
go. Thank you. Thank you,
sis. You know, I love playing that. I got to be honest with you. And I love pulling stuff off YouTube. And Tyler, you'll really get into this. You know, it's not musical, but it's fun regardless. And this is a BC commercial. And please, don't send me cards and letters. It's a joke, and it's funny.
Montreal, you used to be winners. Now you're just whiners. Boo-hoo, we are different. We are French. Shut up. You're not even real French anywhere, like those guys from Denmark, man. In Vancouver, we're real. Yeah, the championship BC Lions, they're really going to kick some Alouette butt. Blue team sucks. BC rules.
CFL, the rivalry lives on.
What's up, dudes?
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
I am Ryder Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Ryder Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
That was the sound of Saskatchewan this past week when their car ran into a wall. Tyler, you know, this is another year where Saskatchewan, you know, looks dominant early in the season. Have they crashed and burned, or is this just a blip on the I guess, on the way to the parade and party that will be the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Grey Cup Championship, the 101st Grey Cup?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll wait until the result on Saturday against Montreal to see if it's a crash in the road, because Calgary is a talented team. I mean, there's no denying that. And they hung in there against the Riders back in their first meeting of the season before the Riders absolutely dominated them in the fourth quarter and pulled away. But Montreal, as we know, they got blown out by Toronto last week. They're limping into this game. They're on the road. There's really no possible way that they should win this game, but they're playing the underdog role. And the Riders need to bounce back from a tough defeat on the road. And so if Montreal can go into Regina and knock off the Riders, then yeah, I'd say that it might be a little bit more concerning for them. But as of right now, I'd say it was just one blip on the radar. It was a heavyweight showdown in the West Division. Saskatchewan got them the first time in Regina. Calgary happened to get them this next time in Calgary. They play again later in the season in Calgary. By that time, it could be for first place. It could be an absolute war for first place late in the season. But right now, I'd say it's just a hiccup, and we'll see what happens on Saturday against Montreal.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm just teasing our Saskatchewan friends because, as usual, we have to give people a reason to call. And the number here is 714-242-5250. You're listening to Candid Frank Live on Rouge Radio and Blog Talk Radio. And our guest host tonight is Tyler Bieber. Or no, maybe it's Tyler Bieber. I don't want to even say Bieber. I got to be honest with you. You know, on the subject of Bieber, did you watch the Grey Cup last year? And did you see the halftime show? And if you did, were you surprised by the reaction of the CFL fans at the game to Bieber?
I'm never surprised at the reaction he gets, whether it's at the Grey Cup halftime or you see a picture of him on the internet and somebody happens to comment on it, or you happen to hear a song of his come on the radio, and again, you're going to get a comment whether it's just a 5-second clip or a 10-minute halftime show. I mean, it never surprises me, good or
Tyler? Tyler?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, okay,
hello?
Mike's on. Mike, hey, Mike, how you doing? I was going to wait till Tyler finished. Good, good. I don't know what happened with Tyler. You're there, right, Tyler?
I am.
Oh, okay, good. So you did finish your thought, and and neither was I. I mean, I'm not a big fan, but I'm not a hater either. I'm proud of the fact that he's a Canadian who's been very successful in the music industry in the world, in North America in particular. And it's always good to see Canadians do well. I really do, applaud his career. Now, when it comes to choices and how he displays himself and what he does, I'm not such a big fan, but that's just me reacting to the reports as opposed to what might be the total truth. So we'll leave Justin Bieber alone, being a Canadian, and now we'll talk to one of our favorite people on the air on the show. His name is Mike. He's Mike, our American CFL fan. Mike, welcome to the program.
Frank, how you doing? Tyler, what's up, man?
Not too bad. Good to have you here.
All right.
An American fan,
eh? Yes, sir.
Now you're out
fantastic.
West.
Where about it?
Go. He's gonna. I was gonna ask that question, but go ahead. Yeah, you know what he's gonna say, Mike. Where are you, and where are you calling from, and what makes you a CFL fan? Review it for our national crowd.
Yeah, I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh, now I live in St. Paul, but I got exposed to the CFL through my uncle, who's a retired police officer in Winnipeg, and I used to go up to Bomber games with him, and through him, I got exposed to the game, and the more I got into it, the more I watched it, I started to like it more and more, and I guess over time, I started to like the CFL more than the NFL for various reasons, and I stumbled upon Frank's show, and since then, I've been a fan of his show as well, and here I am, so that's how we got here.
Any comment, Tyler? You want to
living in Minnesota, do you follow the Vikings that closely, or are you mostly a hardcore CFL fan now?
No, I grew up a hardcore Viking fan, and I had my heart broken in 98 when I was 13 and a couple other times. But over the years, I just started, stopped really paying attention as much because the team's kind of been crap. But, I follow them, but I consider myself more a CFL fan than the NFL.
Remind us of the blog that you do, Mike. Remind us of the blog that you do.
Yeah, that's another thing. My blog is truecflfan.blogspot.com, and I just posted an article today titled "The Rise and Fall of an Empire," and it talked about the similarities between the Montreal Alouettes and the Roman Empire. And if I'm a history buff, so anyone who likes history, you'll probably appreciate the fact that when you look at the two from 2000 until 2012. The rise and fall of the Elves followed the same pattern of the Roman Empire almost to a T, which is kind of strange. So in the blog on that article, I really pointed that out, and we just sort of started from 2000 and worked up to today. And I think it's an interesting read. I think the listeners will appreciate it if they check it out.
Give us we've talked about Saskatchewan. Right now we're moving along from the CFL to Saskatchewan. We both agree that Saskatchewan is not on its way to a dismal season just because they lost a game. You're a Saskatchewan fan. But let's talk about the Owls. First of all, tell us about your article and skim over for us. So we don't want to give it all away, so you know we want people go to read your article. But give us an indication of some of the similarities between the Roman Empire's demise and the Owls' fall from grace.
Yeah, no, and I know, Frank, you're an Italian, so you might appreciate this too. But
what do you say? What do you say? What do you say now? What do you say?
Nice. No, but the thing about is the anyone who knows about Rome, when Rome was coming up, there was they had certain obstacles and adversity that they had to go through before they reached that pinnacle point where they dominated the known world at the time. And one of their major opponents was a man by the name of Hannibal from an empire called Carthage. And his primary thing is he lived in Spain, and he eventually brought his army from the west through the Alp Mountains in the north, and he eventually came through northern Italy and eventually laid siege to the city, and he was on the verge of pretty much wiping out the empire. And it took them years to deal with the guy. And the thing is, if you look at the Owls, they went through that similar phase where from 2000 until about 2008, with the exception of the Grey Cup they won in 2002, they kept losing to the Western teams in the Grey Cup. Like, they would get to the Grey Cup over and over again, but it was the same story. We kept seeing, you know, they'd always come up short against a team from the West. And it's interesting that Rome had a similar situation where they kept, you know, they would have success in other places, but they kept struggling with this force from the West in the person of Hannibal, who consistently beat them every time in battle. And the funny thing is, the way they beat Hannibal was on technicality, the same way the Alouettes finally overcame their Grey Cup drought on a technicality, where Rome beat Hannibal by making a side deal with the Carthage Senate to basically take out his financial support and take out his knees from underneath him. So they basically beat him without ever actually defeating him in battle. On the flip side, the Alouettes, they pretty much won because of, we all know, the infamous 13th man situation in the 2009 Grey Cup, where technically they lost, but on a technicality they actually won the game. So from that moment, we see the tide turn for both Rome and Montreal, where after that whole situation is done, Rome becomes the most dominant empire in the world at the time, and Montreal goes on to have a two-year reign where they just totally dominate the entire league. And then eventually, right, as all empires do, they slowly fade, and what happens? Rome has these nations to the north in Germany and France, you know, these, you know, small Germanic tribes who they subjugated for years, and they were just exploiting them for wheat and gold and whatever. So eventually these groups rise up and eventually take Rome out, and actually come to the very city of Rome and wipe it out. On the flip side, Montreal. Right. Go ahead.
And I guess I want to interject. I guess the people that eventually did that were the Navy, the boat guys, right? They eventually, otherwise known as the Argonauts, came in and took care of things after that. Well, that's
right.
Great. You know, it sounds like an interesting. We don't want to give it all away.
Okay.
On the Owls subject, Tyler, we heard a little bit about how it associates with history. Statistically, are there clues to their demise? I mean, last year they were one pass away from making it to the Grey Cup. So I can't believe that this is just a continuation of last year, because I really don't think there was any sign last year that this was going to happen.
Yeah, I tell you what, they lost Mark Trestman to the Chicago Bears in the offseason, and he had been such a key to revitalizing Anthony Calvillo's career. And 2007, Calvillo threw 17 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. I mean, it's not a terrible season by any means. He did miss a few games towards the end of the year, but it wasn't Anthony Calvillo numbers. First year with Mark Trestman as head coach and a key contributor in the offense, Calvillo had 43 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions. He was the MVP. I mean, a truly outstanding season. And they lost to the Calgary Stampeders in the Grey Cup that year. Next season, again, as Calvillo somehow at the age of, I believe he would have been 39 that year, somehow, again, through 26 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions, had another outstanding season. Alouettes beat the Riders in the Grey Cup, as Mike mentioned, 13th man penalty. Moving along to 2010, he threw 32 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions as they beat the Riders again, this time in Edmonton for the Grey Cup. 2011, 32 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. 2012, last season, of course, 31 touchdowns, 14 passes, and as you mentioned, they were also close to returning back to the Grey Cup, but the Argos got him in the end. And then the turnover. Tressman goes, Dan Hawkins comes in, and he starts to instill some philosophies that simply aren't going to work in the CFL. And Jim Popp and the Alouettes brass even started to see that from the beginning of training camp. And I think they started to feel that, okay, we may have made a mistake. Now, you have to let him still do his thing because it could somehow work. But as we saw, it didn't. And they started out 2-3. Dan Hawkins was fired. Jim Popp is back on the sideline as he was in 2007. I thought that last week they would have a little bit of a turnaround. And you're playing at home. You're playing against a divisional rival. But they came out absolutely flat. Noel Devine fumbled the football twice. The Argos got up quickly on them, and then they never recovered. Calvillo himself has struggled this year. 6 touchdown passes. He's only thrown 1 touchdown pass in each game. He's been hit a lot, and maybe more so than he has in any year that he's ever played. And I think it's obvious that he's struggling. And, you know, the fall of the Alouettes is probably going to come when Calvillo retires, and I think it's even starting to show now a little bit. Defensively, they've been great. But offensively, they're struggling to find their way, and now they lost Jamel Richardson for the season. Brandon Whitaker is out for a little bit. I think he might be returning this week. But, again, you know, the turnover, I think they're still adjusting. And if you look at it last year with the Argos, for example, they had a new philosophy, a new system with Scott Milanovic coming in, and they struggled out of the gate. But as the season goes on, it's an 18-game season. You see these teams at least twice a season and your divisional rivals 3 times, and one of them you see 4 times. But you start to get a familiarity with these teams, and then you start to game plan around it. You come back and you pop them back the next game. That's kind of like what we saw last week with Calgary getting back at Saskatchewan. And you start to gain your ground, and you start to figure things out, and, you know, you take off from there. Whether that's going to happen with Montreal, I'm not sure. They have Doug Berry as their offensive coordinator, and I think they did some things good, but for whatever reason, they can't seem to have that game plan consistent throughout the entire game, and they struggle. So I would wait and see if we're going to see the complete demise of the Alouettes, but I think once Calvillo retires, they certainly will, because I'm not a huge fan of their backups. They have Josh Nyswander and Tanner Marsh, and with Calvillo playing, you'd never see them. So, I mean, it's always hard to say, unlike, again, Zach Collaros, Levi Mitchell, Drew Willey, and those guys who have seen actual game time this season. But, again, I think that they're going to start to see when he goes down and retires.
Oh, I hit a button by mistake. I apologize. Howdy, how's
Troy
it going?
Smith.
How you doing?
We've
got Brian Walrishian on now on the program. Brian, you're here with Mike, our American CFL fan from Minneapolis, with Tyler Bieber, our statistical genius when it comes to CFL, and basically the factual guy on the program. And my name Frank Stanishi. I'm here, and Brian, you are Mr. BC Lions.
I run bclionsden.ca. It's a fan blog, and we also run a podcast as well. Had Tyler on the show last week, actually.
Yeah, and I just interrupted his dissertation on the Owls by hitting the button to call you too soon. I meant to hit the silent button, and instead I just dialed you. So first of all, most of all, I want to apologize to Tyler. Tyler, sorry about that. Please let Tyler finish his dissertation on what's caused the demise of the Owls, or what signs there were in the road that showed that maybe the Owls were not going to be repeat champions or compete as well as they have in the past. Tyler, my apologies. Please continue.
No worries. I guess I'll just quickly recap it. Trestman left to the NFL, and his philosophy was so instilled into that program. I mean, the numbers, 43 touchdowns, 26, 32, 32, and 31 from Calvillo while Trestman was there. They moved the offense incredibly well. Their defense wasn't that good, but Calvillo, again, they were able to move the offense and make up for that fact. And then he turned it around to this season. Like I said, Dan Hawkins came in. His new philosophy didn't work with the team. They started to see that from the outset. He was let go. Now you got Jim Popp back on the sidelines. Calvillo, again, he will be turning, I believe, 41 next week. And he's obviously going to retire. And I think it's going to be after this season. It could be in a couple of years, but I believe his contract is expiring this year. And I'm not that confident in their backup quarterbacks, Josh Nyswander and Tanner Marsh, that they're going to be able to have some sustainability and carry over their next season, despite the fact that they have Brandon Whitaker, Jamel Richardson, S.J. Green, Brandon London. You know, they have these offensive weapons, but I don't think you're going to see sustainability at the quarterback position where they're going to be able to maintain the pace that Calvillo has set for the past few years. And so I think you're going to start to see them. They might fall down to 6 wins next season. They might not even make it to 8 this season. But once Calvillo goes, I think the ship is going to be lost for a couple of years.
Well, I hope things work out better for them. We need a strong Al's presence in the Eastern Division of the Canadian Football League. You know, we will have a lot of interest in the Eastern Division because of Ottawa's joining the league and the Eastern Division. So, Mike, the American, Tyler, the Brain, and Brian, who puts the Wowerition in the program. Brian, exciting news coming out of BC. You have some really interesting moments to talk about with BC. They seem to not be getting the limelight that maybe they deserve with Calgary and Saskatchewan in the forefront, but BC's not far behind, if they're behind at all, are they, in the chase for the Grey Cup?
I would say at this point of the season, they can't be considered anything close to those two teams at this point because they haven't put together a full game of football yet, and this Saturday is definitely a test for the Lions. And if they fail it, then they've got some questions to answer because, you know, it would be the second game they've lost to the Stampeders this season. They would lose the season series already. And, you know, it's time to put a full game together against the Stampeders this Saturday because I think to this point, the Lions have been a fairly average football team.
You've got a quarterback with one of my favorite quarterbacks in the CFL who has a great reputation. Some are suggesting that maybe it's only reputation and he hasn't come through in a manner that maybe should be, you know, what he's done.
Well, I would say that if you're talking about this season, perhaps. But if you're talking about not coming through, I don't agree with that at all. The Lions were a 1-6 football team, and they won the Grey Cup on the back of Travis Lule. So I think he's proven that he can do it. I think there's more problems in BC right now than just Travis Lule. You know, the offensive line is a work in progress right now. You have young receivers, and they've struggled in the red zone, and that's not all on Travis Lule. So, you know, I would say he's proven that he can play. I think he is an upper echelon quarterback in the league, and I'm not quite sure why people would feel otherwise.
Okay, no, I wanted your perspective because we've heard the rumblings that with his efficiency rating isn't as good as you'd expect it to be, but that's just a number. You know, that really doesn't tell the story. And the offensive line has a lot of a lot to do with how successful a quarterback is. Let's be honest. Mike, you sounded like you wanted to jump in on the Lule BC discussion.
Yeah, I just wanted to add first off, I don't know if Tyler caught me when I said earlier, but the Owls just signed Troy Smith, the former quarterback out of Ohio State and the San Francisco 49ers. So it looked like they may have just found their next quarterback if Cabillo does hang it up after this season.
And that's to complete the Al's portion of the program. Now,
yes,
do you have anything on BC?
Yeah, no, when it came to Travis Lule, I think, and he, you know, I don't want to get him upset about this, but I think it's the fact that Lule was great in 2011, and he took the league by storm. And then since then, what we've seen is a steady decline where the defenses have seemed to figure him out more and more every time he plays. And I remember Darian Durant in 2009, everyone was saying Durant is the next great star, and, you know, people were like, oh, he's going to be – he's the next – you know, he's the future of the CFL. And what happened? Defenses started to figure out more and more. He struggled the next 2 years, and, you know, he's really just starting to rebound towards the end of last season through this season. So I think, you know, Lule is just going through that same phase where defenses read him, figure him out, have a game plan for him, and now he's got to learn to adjust his game to that. And then that's what separates good from great quarterbacks. Good quarterbacks can come out well, defenses adjust, and then they go away. Great quarterbacks can adjust to whatever defenses come up with and still be able to excel and grow and go past it. So that's what's going to determine these next 2 years where Lule really is. Is he a good quarterback that had a nice run, or will he become a great one? So we'll find out, hopefully, by the end of the season.
Go ahead. No, it's okay. Go ahead, Brian.
We'll find that out. But I mean, you're saying he's on a steady decline. The Lions were 13-5 last year. Sure, they lost the playoff game. I just don't agree with the fact that Lule is not performing adequately for the Lions. You know, certainly Grey Cups tell the story and playoff success. You know, the Lions play in a very tough division as well. So, you know, it's Travis Lule wins football games, and there's no denying that. And, you know, he won a Grey Cup already.
Think about that. Like, you pointed out last year's record. Let's be honest. You could attribute that just as much to the defense, the play of Andrew Harris. I mean, let's be honest. He wasn't necessarily lighting it up. Statistically, you could, even when you watched it, you could tell there was times where their passing game really just never could get going. And said that was because of the injuries of Simon and Arlen Bruce. But whatever the reasons may be, it came to a head in the West Final where we just saw the whole thing unravel. And he really couldn't get the passing game going. So as far as I can see, I can say that a decline when the year before the guy was throwing 300-yard-plus games almost at ease. Defenses couldn't stop him. He would constantly be moving around making plays. You didn't see that at all last season. I mean, their offense was basically Andrew Harris and then great defense. That's how they won last year.
Brian.
I disagree.
Now,
I disagree. Don't forget, he also played the final games of those last season with a bad shoulder as well.
There's information out there. Guys, you know, this isn't about honesty, Mike. This is about opinion, and that's all this is. This is all about opinion. We're here offering our opinion. The honest truth is, a team wins or loses based on the team's performance, not any individual, really. That's the first thing. Now, what happens is sometimes players, you know, they peek through the team and look like they're the reason why a team wins or why the team loses. But I'm not really sure that Travis Lule is the reason why BC wins or loses, but I do think that he makes a major contribution. And if that contribution isn't as big as it used to be, that could be a problem. But from what Brian said, that if he was playing with an injury last year, that could, you know, handicap his ability to do well. You know, but remember, this is all about opinion and conjecture. You know, I'm of the opinion that the Argos should win the cup every year, but that's only because of my selfish desire. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. So, you know, Brian, you know, BC has been a great team over the years. Travis Lule has done a marvelous job. He's been a star quarterback for the team. He's paid as such. The team, you said, the front line, maybe the offensive line might be a problem. Is that the major problem, or are there any other problems that you see up close, you know, right there in BC?
Well, right now I think the biggest problem the Lions have is lack of pressure on the defensive line. You know, they're last in the league in sacks. Last year's sack leader, Caron Williams, only has one sack through six games. So I think that's the key thing right there, is they have to get more out of their defensive line to keep, you know, other offenses off the field. The Lions, I think, are missing Khalif Mitchell, who's fit in quite well in Toronto from all accounts. You know, maybe that was a trade that they would want to reconsider at this point. I don't know if the bridges were burnt too bad to keep him here. You know, it would depend who you would talk to. But I think defensive line is a big issue right now for the Lions. I'm expecting them to be scouring NFL cuts to bring somebody in. They don't get Andrew Harris involved enough early in football games, as far as I'm concerned. In their losses, Andrew Harris was pretty much shut down early. When they get him involved early, that's when they have their success. That's when the offense starts rolling. And it seems like, when the running game gets taken away, the offense starts to sputter a bit. So consistency on offense, getting Andrew Harris more involved, and I think they have to improve the defensive line going forward.
So did you just make my point for me?
I didn't make any point for you.
Yeah, you just basically said if they don't get Andrew Harris involved, the offense gets inconsistent and they
struggle because
Travis Lulay is just not that great. Period.
Point a football team out to me that has their running game shut down that wins championships.
Well, I mean, the Montreal Alouettes for years barely had a running game. They had a guy that they would every now and then run a draw or a toss to, but their offense was all about the passing the ball.
Mike Pringle and guys like that.
When they won championships, 2009, 2010.
And they had a running game to go along with that.
It was a change of pace, so it wasn't a foundational thing like it is for Calgary or Saskatchewan or BC.
But that wasn't the question. If your running game gets shut down, you cannot win football games.
Nowhere can you win football games. Nowhere.
Green Bay Packers won
a
Super Bowl without running the ball. What are you talking about? It's all about.
We're not talking about the NFL here. We're talking about the Canadian football league.
Yeah, no, but Frank just said anywhere it can't happen.
I'm going to make my point. The point I'm trying to make is that nowhere can a team win championships without both parts of the offense working. And in the Canadian Football League, it's even more important that special teams is even more important again. You have to have those three parts of your game working really well for you to win championships in the Grey Cup. And, Mike, just because somebody does it without it doesn't make it not true, just proves the rule because that's the exception. There are far, Brian's point, there are few and far between that do actually succeed without everything working. The Argos were fortunate last year because they're different. The special teams, the defense, and the offense combined to make a championship. I understand what you're saying, that you can have such an exceptional portion of the team that could carry the team. But really, that's the exception, not the rule. If you're setting up your team, you're not going in saying, well, you know what, we really don't need to worry about running the ball. We'll just win the championship on the guy's arm. That ain't going to happen. It might happen without you thinking about it, but if you think that's what's going to happen, no, I disagree with you. And it is important. The running game is important in the CFL because not like in the NFL where you can run, three times for 4 yards and get a first down. In the CFL, you can't run for 4 yards twice because then you're two and out. So, it is important. Sorry, guys.
It's all about, like in the NFL, it's all about establish the run to set up the pass. That's the basic fundamental understanding on offense. And the CFL is the other way around. You have to be able to establish a passing game, and then the run plays off of that. No team in the CFL is foundation is the running game. No team. Winnipeg tries that, and look what happens. It's a disaster.
Have you watched the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this year?
Yeah, but even when Corey does that, it's almost he still plays off the fact that the defenses respect the passing game. You rarely see the safety come down into the box because they know the receivers, they're like five deep at receiver. And with George Cortez's offense, the defensive coordinators are worried more about that. That's why, and I follow the Riders really closely, and Rod Peterson talks about this all the time, where they're like, their offensive coaches say their passing game is just waiting for the defenses to start coming into the box, playing the run more, then it's going to open up their passing game. Right now, they're just taking what the defense gives them, which is the defense is still worried about the pass. That's why Sheets is able to get as many yards on the ground as he does. So in the CFL, this whole concept that it's run first, pass then, is totally out the window. It's all about having a great passing game, which makes defense fear the pass. Therefore, they play off the run, which opens up the run underneath. You can't have a consistent running game in the CFL. It doesn't work like that. You have to have moments and there's spots where it can, have big plays. That's how it operates.
I can tell you.
Travis Lulay isn't playing at a level enough where the defenses feel like, okay, we have to
Mike,
go
let Brian, let Brian, let Brian.
Second.
Let Brian comment on that point. Brian, go ahead.
You can say the exact opposite and say you can't have a passing game without a running game. If you don't respect the gun, if you don't respect the run, you're going to get blitzed on every down. You know, you have to have a balanced attack in the Canadian Football League. You just have to. And all I'm saying is don't, you know, because if Andrew Harris gets shut down, it's not a slight on Travis Lule. Travis Lule is an excellent quarterback, and, you know, his legacy is soon to be found out. As you said, in the next couple of years, we'll find out if he's a great quarterback or, you know, a good quarterback. But at the same time, if the run game was shut down and the Lions lose a playoff game or a game because the running game was shut down, you know, you can't lay all that on Travis Lule.
We learned a very important lesson here in Toronto just this past year prior to the Grey Cup victory. We had a running back who was leading the league in rushing, named Corey Boyd, released by the Toronto Argonauts, bringing in a young unknown, Chad Kackert. Chad Kackert went on to win the MVP in the Grey Cup. After Corey Boyd's departure, Ricky Ray's numbers ballooned, and ever since, he's not looked back since. So, you know, there is a symbiotic relationship between the run and the pass. You know, there is no one without the other. I don't care what anybody says. As far as being a good offense, you can be a good offense. You can be a good defense. But if you really want greatness, the other half has to be really good. It's just, in my opinion, that's what I think. Tyler, statistically speaking, since Tyler the Brain Bieber, is there anything to back up what either of these gentlemen are talking about in regards to Travis Lule and offense and the run and the pass, in your opinion?
Well, I think you take it case by case. I mean, in Saskatchewan, for example, Corey Sheet is where the ball goes. And it showed. I mean, they have 165 yards rushing per game as opposed to 269 yards passing per game, which is fairly high. But still, in the CFL, when you're rushing for 165 yards a game, chances are you're going to win a lot more games than you're not. As far as the Lions go, I think that Andrew Harris ties in big time to their offense, but it's not necessarily running the football. He is a big part of their passing game, and I don't think they're using him enough in that regard. Last year, he had 75 receptions, and this year, thus far, he only has 25. So, I mean, as much as you have to get the guy the ball rushing the football, I think in the CFL especially, you have to get him the ball in the air. And whether that's screens or swing outs or check downs. And I mean, as you mentioned, Frank, Corey Boyd getting released last year, they brought in Chad Kackert. But when you look at Scott Milanovich's offenses in Montreal, who was the key figure in those offenses other than Anthony Calvillo? It was the running back, Brandon Whitaker, Avon Coburn, these guys who get the ball receiving the football, 80 catches a year. They move the chains, you know, picking up the first down via the screens, via swing outs, you know, check downs. That's what's going to get you moving the football more often than not when you're struggling to move the ball. And for the Lions, I think that what they have to do is they have to get Andrew Harris the ball more, not only running the football, handing it off, which he's not even close to what he should be getting. Against Winnipeg, he only had 13 carries. But receiving, I mean, it's such a huge aspect in the CFL. And when you're getting the running back to football, he's in open space, he's going to make plays, he's going to move the football. I mean, that's just common sense. So I don't think there's a direct
correlation
way to put the passing and the rushing game when you look at the CFL. I think you take it case by case. So you look at Calgary again, they have John Cornish. John Cornish is going to get the ball first because of how dominant a rusher he is. And when you start to stack the box, you know, maybe try and shut them down a little bit, then you go back to the passing game. Edmonton, you have Mike Riley at quarterback, and he struggled a little bit here so far. But the running game, I don't think, is as good there. You have Hugh Charles. They have a struggling offensive line. And, you know, chances are you're going to be able to shut them down in more cases than not. So, again, I don't think there's a direct tie-in with the two sides, but I think in terms of the BC line.
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought, and I just wanted to throw something in there. But in terms of the BC Lions. Hello? Oh, we lost him in mid-conversation.
Dang.
Oh, well. I'll call him back and see if
I think that
what
Tyler...
I'm sorry, Brian, just let me get this part out, because what he said, what Tyler was saying was very poignant. And poignant in the sense that the only thing he didn't say that he skirted around was that the running back in the passing offense can keep the defense honest. And if that's working, then you got your passes to the sidelines and down the middle with more of an opportunity to be made. And also the running game. Go ahead. That was just my point I was going to add to Tyler.
No, I was going to agree with him, and I think I mentioned that point earlier that, you know, you have to be able to respect the run to have a successful passing game. You have to have your running game respected. So, you know, and I agree totally with him that, like I said at the beginning when we were talking about the BC game, you know, the Lions have to get Andrew Harris more involved. And we've seen him being thrown the ball. You know, he's unfortunately dropped a couple right in his hands that he probably would have walked into the end zone on a couple in the last couple of games. So, you know, I think Tyler was bang on with his comments, and, you know, I just feel like, you know, I've made my point, so we can move on from this.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
Brian,
we're going
to say sorry about that to you and Frank. I've just been watching First Take on ESPN, and I got in that Stephen A. Smith mode. I'm sorry about that. And
I'm a writer,
so I just, you know, I just, when it comes to the other Western teams, I always get kind of, you know,
yeah,
that writer fandom comes out.
Mike, don't apologize. There's nothing to apologize. The reason I interject and I say this is a matter of opinion, don't worry about honesty and don't worry about it, because here everybody's welcome to give their honest, and the important word here is opinion. And you know, and that's what this is all about. So don't ever apologize for it. As long as you're not insulting and abusive and put down people, you're welcome on here. And so far you haven't done anything like that. So don't worry about it. Seriously, don't worry about it. I think Brian has thicker skin than you realize. I hope so. Anyway, Brian,
all good on my end. All good.
There you go. Okay. So listen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about Winnipeg, guys. Let's think about Winnipeg and a team that. For whatever reason, can't find a winning formula, and it doesn't matter how hard they try, it just doesn't happen for them. And we're gonna go for a Ticat talk here. Here we go.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape, he was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Yes, they are. It always makes me giggle inside whenever I hear them talk about our program. Okay, we're here with, and I hope he's back because I did call him. We're here with Mike the American, CFL fan, Brian, who puts the wow in Candid Frank Live Show Warishin, and, of course, Tyler the Brain Bieber. And I am Frank the Frankish. I'm Frank the Fancaster. I'll call myself that. I'm Frank the Fancaster. So here we are talking about the CFL. We've spoken. You've missed us talking about Saskatchewan, the demise of the Owls, the BC Lions, and, of course, the Lions Den King himself, Brian. Gentlemen, Winnipeg. I want to talk about Winnipeg. Here's a team that really hasn't found its way. Buck Pierce is injured. People complained about the fact that he lost too much weight in the off season. It's going to make a bigger, well, ironically, it'll make a bigger target out of him because he's smaller. Let's start with you were last time. Why don't you jump in, Tyler, on our friend Buck Pierce and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Okay. It's a bit of an interesting situation, isn't it? This week, Max Hall, starting at quarterback. You look back to last year, October 13th, 2012, Joey Elliott started against the Calgary Stampeders. Ever since then, you've had four other starters: Buck Pierce, Alex Brink, Justin Gold, now Max Hall. They've tried to figure out a formula. It has never worked. Buck Pierce, I think everybody will agree that when he is healthy and when he is on his game, he gives them the best chance to win no matter what. So they turn to Justin Goltz with Buck Pierce dinged up, and they're trying to get a little bit of a different way going about it in Winnipeg. And Justin Goltz was supposed to be the starter for the rest of the season. Turns out, not so much. So they've turned to Max Hall this week. Max Hall is a former NFL player with the Arizona Cardinals. Didn't really go that well for him when he was with the Arizona Cardinals. He struggled terribly. He threw an interception in almost every single appearance, which was six in the 2010 or 2011 season. And, I think when you look at Max Hall, his biggest, when I was studying his game film when he was with the Cardinals, he made two starts there. His biggest thing that's going to impact his game in the CFL is his arm strength. The CFL is a bigger field, and I think the area that he's going to struggle the most is if they're throwing the long outs. You know, he's going to have some troubles in that area. And so what I think they need to do with him this week is turn him into a game manager. You know, use Chad Simpson again with the running backs. Use him in the passing game. Hand him the ball off. They have to centralize their game plan around Chad Simpson and give him the ball. And everybody says it because it's absolutely true, but you go back to his Twitter handle, it's give Chad the ball. And that's where the offense needs to begin. I don't think they did it enough when Justin Goltz was the quarterback. I think they start to get to a little bit of a comfort zone and start to get him the ball more. But I think they're still looking for the key formula in getting Chad Simpson the ball more. As far as Justin Goltz goes, I don't think they gave him a really fair chance. I mean, yeah, he made two starts and he didn't really show the greatest performances in those two starts, but he played Calgary, he played BC. Those are two of the tougher defenses in the Canadian Football League, and now you turn it over and they play the Hamilton Tiger Cats this week with Max Hall starting, and the Tiger Cats, to be quite honest, don't have a defense anywhere near that they should. And so what I thought was they should have given Goltz one more start. If he struggles against the Tiger Cats at home, then okay, turn over the keys to Max Hall. But they're going to go with Hall a little bit earlier here. And again, Chad Simpson has to be the focal point of this offense. And I don't know how long it's going to take for Gary Crouton, the offensive coordinator, to realize that. But hopefully for the Blue Bombers, it is this week. And Crouton is another case himself. I thought that he should have been gone when they let Joe Mack go last week, when they let Garth Butch go last week. I thought Crouton should have been right behind him and they should be looking to figure something else out there, but he wasn't. And then you get the news this week. Marcel Belfay, the former Hamilton Tiger Cats head coach, is brought in onto their offensive staff. And what I think is going to happen is by Labor Day, Belfay is going to either be 50-50 with Crouton, or he's going to be calling the plays, and Crouton is going to be more of a quarterback's coach and advising in a different role. Kind of like what happened in Edmonton last year. They brought in David Kelly. Marcus Crandall was relinquished, and he became the quarterback's coach and was not calling the plays anymore. Kavis Reed was calling the plays, which again, didn't really make sense because he's a defensive coordinator, but it was what it was, and it was a struggle for them. So I think you're going to see something similar like that in Winnipeg with Belfay taking over the play calling, and I think it'll help him because he seems to me to be more like a guy who's going to get the running back the ball more. And again, I think that's what they have to do in Winnipeg. Defensively, they have struggled terribly so far this season. More recently, in the past 5 weeks, they've given up more passing yards than you know what to do with. They haven't come up with an interception since, I think, about week two when they played the Alouettes and Anthony Calville. They are able to stop the run. They have done it tremendously, and part of that's because, again, where are you going to look when you're looking at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and their past performances? You're going to look to the secondary. You're going to start to air the ball out. And it kind of helped a struggling BC Lions offense last week. Travis Lule was 28 of 39 for 268 yards and 3 touchdowns. Again, Andrew Harris struggled, 56 yards on 13 carries. Not necessarily his fault, a combination of BC's offensive line and the Bombers' defense. But again, I think you saw a little bit of a turning point for the Lions offense. They started to correct their red zone offense. It still needs a little bit of work. But again, the Winnipeg defense is just a mess right now. And they need to figure something out there. And Casey Crehan, the defensive coordinator, he was the defensive coordinator in Hamilton last year, and he didn't exactly show that well in Hamilton. So he goes over to Winnipeg, and he's not showing that well in Winnipeg. And you know, I'm not sure what the exact solution is on defense because I like to focus on the offensive side of the ball, but they need to figure something out. And then you look at their special teams. Justin Pilardi has been demoted. He will not be place kicking or kicking off this week. They signed Sandro DeAngelis, who was with the Saskatchewan Roughriders last season once Chris Milo got hurt, and DeAngelis will be taking over the place kicking duties. But as a whole for the Bombers this week, I think, you know, they're back at home. They need to get a win. They absolutely need to get a win. And as much as the team is in disarray at 1-5, they're only one game back at Hamilton. So if you win this game, you're tied for third place. So
in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Mike, let's move on to Mike. Is Winnipeg a team that can make the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. When you see the fact that Montreal's at 2-4, not only can they make the playoffs, they could end up with a home playoff game. But these next two games are going to be huge for them. Like he said, these back-to-backs with Hamilton really could go a long way in turning this season around for either team. I know that, like you said, they need to get the ball to Cham Simpson, but honestly, the issue for them comes down to their offensive line, similar to what BC's dealing with. If your offensive line can't block, you can't run, you can't pass. I mean, that's what caused Buck Pierce to struggle earlier this year. We saw him taking immense pressure, and we even see this in Montreal where Cavillo just isn't the same guy if he can't get blocking. So ultimately, that's where their number one issue is, and that came down to Joe Max. Just, you know, he lost Brandon Labatt. He let a lot of key guys go. He seemed to be, you know, just content with holding on to guys and not really aggressively pursuing people in free agency, which was something that a lot of Bomber fans were upset about, including some of my family members, and it's one of the reasons why a lot of people wanted him out a while ago. But, you know, they finally made that decision, and I guess they've assigned Kyle Walters as the acting general manager, and I guess he made a couple moves. He just let go of the backup running back, Chris Garrett. It doesn't really mean anything, but I think they're trying to send a message to the team that if you're not performing, they're going to let people go, and maybe that'll put extra pressure on guys to really focus and lock in during this week at practice and really put the pressure on them to have to deliver. But ultimately, it starts at the top, and if your management isn't, you know, in good order and running things efficiently, it's going to trickle its way down, and that's really what's been happening. And it's a shame because they have a beautiful stadium. They got great fans. And I just, you know, I just feel bad for them. I feel like the Bomber fans deserve better, and hopefully they could turn things around. But like I said, if you don't fix that offensive line, you can't do anything. And I don't know. I guess that's it.
That sounds like a good segue to Brian. That seems to be the general consensus with BC in Winnipeg. What are your feelings as an outsider of Winnipeg, but an insider on what used to be a Western Division team?
Yeah, well, it's weird that Tyler mentioned their defense being such a mess, but they actually do have a very good defensive line. You know, they're right up near the top in sacks, if not leading the league in sacks. So, you know, when you have a good defensive line like that, it's a little strange that your pass protection is lacking so much. But I agree, once again, he's got to get Chad Simpson, and they have to get Chad Simpson more involved in the game. Right now, that's the best weapon they have, especially with the inconsistency of quarterback. And, you know, they've got to get that position settled. And I don't understand how you name a guy a starter 1 week, and then the next week he's number three. After little chance to prove himself. So we'll see how Max Hall does. I don't think we've seen the last of Buck Pierce. I think this new regime has already basically elevated him to number two, and I think if Hall struggles, I think you'll see Buck Pierce come into this game this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's an experiment, but unfortunately that might be part of the problem. There has to be a commitment by management to its players, as well as making the players accountable. I'm gonna dial now our next guy. He's going to be Ryan Waters, and we're gonna do some CJFL stuff with BC. They had a team a win was taken away from them on an illegal player on their team. On three, guys, let's all welcome Mr. Ryan Waters. 1, 2, 3. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
Oh, he hung up. I can't believe it. I guess I scared him away. Let's try it again. You know what? Let's take it off that. Let's take it off that. And go ahead. Come on, baby. Get on the phone there, buddy. See, this is why I have to let it ring on the air. If I don't let it ring on the air, for some reason, people think we're not talking to them. They think there's something wrong. And there he is. Hello, Ryan. Ryan, buddy. Ryan, you there?
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, we got you this time. I called you last time. Did you hang up or did I hang up on you?
I didn't hear anything, so I hung up.
That's what I just finished telling to the listeners. So, okay, we're with Ryan Waters. I'm sorry I'm calling you a little late, but we've had a really interesting evening talking to some very intelligent CFL fans and bloggers and people who comment on the CFL. You're with Brian Walrishan. He is of the BC Lions Den. Tyler Bieber, the brain, I like to call him. And Mike, the American CFL fan from Minneapolis. Share with us your perspective on the game of football. What turns your crank?
Well, the action, the hard-hitting action, the end-to-end action, so to speak. I like the game within the game as far as the chess match, matchups. You try to break up matchups with the running back, linebackers, and then all the movement on the defensive line when you try to get by the offensive line at the quarterback or in the backfield to get up to the running back. So the strategy that goes into the game, the coaching that goes into the game is, as you say, it turns my crank.
Good. Now, BCFC ruled against the Okanagan Sun, a football team in the CJFL, because they had an illegal player from Hamilton. Tell us about this. This is pretty unusual, isn't it?
It is pretty unusual. You're right on that. It's an interesting ruling by the British Columbia Football Conference. I am a little surprised on the fact that they overturned the score, and I do realize that it is a rule within the conference, but to overturn a score is an interesting decision by the president, Gord Johnson, and the fact that there are the staff that work around him. So I am a little surprised, to be honest, the fact that it is such a harsh ruling. I know the team has been fined as well by the Canadian Junior Football League, and then, like I said, the BCFC, the British Columbia Football Conference, decided to overturn the game. They did beat the Valley Huskers out of the Chilliwack, BC area, if you're familiar with that. By a big margin, I believe it was 65-10, that changed. The score has now been changed to a 1-0 Huskers victory over the Okanagan Sun, which really plays with the standings as well. The Sun were 3-0, now they're 2-1. The Huskers were 1-1-1, and now they're 2-0-1. So it is very interesting when you do look at the standings. Yes, it's only week 3, it's a 10-week season if you're not familiar with the BCFC, but they're heading into week 4. An interesting ruling.
First, and then let's talk about you. And as I give every opportunity for every one of our guests to highlight what their main thing is, and you're with onairenterprises.com. Tell us about the what you do other than being on this program?
Well, that is my own business, and I do have a branch to that, a website branch to the On Air Enterprises umbrella. It's just my name, ryanwaters.ca. I'm based here in Kelowna, B.C., really focused on local sports and local athletes and everybody that makes the local scene here in Kelowna tick in the Okanagan Valley with Penticton and Vernon. So talking to athletes, every sport, every kind of sport, every kind of athlete, which is really fun. Met some great kids, some great players, some great athletes coming out of Kelowna. When you look it down, look down some of the rosters in professional sports and on the Olympic stage, there is a smattering of Kelowna athletes. And now that they're starting to get into more collegiate levels, and the university here in Kelowna, UBC Okanagan, has really produced some wonderful athletes, and it's been certainly fun getting to know those kids and getting to know their story. And that's what the website's all about, and getting to know everybody who is in the world of sports here in the Okanagan Valley.
I used to work for the company that built the arena there.
Hockey
the
arena.
Beautiful, yep, the beautiful arena. Yeah, and it's I tell you something. I'm drinking wine right now because I'm at home doing this program, so I can I don't have to worry about drinking and driving. And I have to tell you that the one thing the Okanagan can do really well is make good wine.
Well, I would 100% agree with that. To make good wine and make good people and athletes. And I've taken part. Yeah, I've taken part in a glass of two of my own. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
There you go. Now we've been talking about the CFL. Are you comfortable talking about the CFL?
I can certainly give my 2 cents for sure, since I'm the media director of the Canadian Junior Football League and
there
more up to date on what's going on there. But certainly CFL, I can certainly comment on.
Well, when now because you're here and guys follow me on this, this is where we're changing and we're a little late. We wanted to talk about the Canadian Junior Football League and what it means to the Canadian Football League. So when I said about the Canadian Football League, I wasn't really referring to the game itself of the Canadian Football League, but more or less the feeding ground that is the CJFL. What contribution do they make, Mr. Waters, to the CFL, and how can they contribute better in the future?
Well, yeah, you look no further than the BC Lions and Andrew Harris. Andrew has just been outstanding for the Lions the last couple of years. He's a product of the Canadian Junior Football League and the BCFC with the Vancouver Island Raiders. He set so many records out of the Nanaimo. He's had so many records in the CJFL, and now he's, you know what he's doing with the Lions. I mean, when you're the most outstanding Canadian in the Grey Cup a couple of years ago, it's pretty impressive. So there has been a handful of guys that have come out of the Canadian Junior Football League and have jumped up to the CFL, and you're starting to see a lot more of that. There were some guys earlier on, before Andrew, but Andrew really, especially as of late, has really turned the attention of some CFL teams into the Canadian Junior Football League in BC, the Prairies, and the Ontario Football Conference, even in Quebec with the Cougars. There are a lot of scouts in the CFL all of a sudden taking note and showing up at training camps and showing up at games and trying to find that next blue chip player that's in the Canadian Junior Football League right now. So it's exciting times. It is. And I know since I'm in Kelowna, I certainly know a lot more about the BC teams and paying attention to what the BC Lions are doing. They have a young man, Anthony Daly, coming out of the Langley Rams organization, who's practicing with the Lions right now on the offensive side. The kid's only 20 years old, and the Lions have really taken a liking to him. Stephen Doge, coming out of Kelowna as well, the Okanagan Sun. He's on the defensive line, or right now he's more or less on the special teams of the Lions. But I wouldn't be surprised in the next year or two if he's right back on that defensive line of the Lions. So there is a lot of players now in the CJFL that are getting a good sniff from the CFL.
But not only at the typically Canadian positions. Here in Toronto, I have the pleasure of watching Andre Drury. Great talent and Canadian players that are staking new ground in positions that they're not commonly, the John Cornishes of the league, showing that Canadians can, take part and be effective in positions that were usually non-import positions.
Yeah, you're right on the money with that. And again, I go back to Andrew Harris. He started on the special teams, and now he's a running back, and was a running back with Nanaimo, and not traditionally a spot that a Canadian would hold on to. I'm still waiting for that first Canadian quarterback, though, to break through. A good chance, I thought, was Jordan Mance.
I got one.
Coming out again. Okay.
I got one, William Finch.
Okay.
William Finch, out of Burlington High School, came to the and you know, we're all myopic in our view of the game. I spent a lot of time at the Argos practice facility and following the Argos practice. And William Finch is I got to know about him, a young kid. He last year came out of high school, first year at Western, ended up playing some key games at the end of the year, showed awesome talent. Now, he's taken some training out of the U.S. His father, not his agent or anything like that, not his coach either, but he's been a guiding hand. His son is really coming in his own. It's been really tough. The quarterback position in Canada is really tough. That's why I wanted to inject that, because this is another kid that could be a CFL quarterback. Do you think that's going to happen? I'm not going to say in my lifetime, because I don't have much time left. But what about in the next few years?
I think so. I mean, you look at some of the talent, and if the league continues to expand in Ottawa, and you'll just get more opportunities for kids that are in the CGFL or just coming through the high school ranks. Where I think, because you're looking at so many more Canadians, and that the league, I think, is really taking life into that, and maybe we'll see a few more roster spots be needed to take over by Canadians. I think certainly in the next 5 years, I think you'll see one or two Canadian quarterbacks, certainly hopefully more than that, because it is the Canadian game, and you watch these kids grow up with the Canadian game and pick their favorite CFL team, and hopefully they get a chance to play with their favorite CFL team. But I think so. I mean, you look at some of the talents, the records that have been broken across the CGFL. I always use this as a reference because I'm most familiar with the CGFL. But some of the players that are coming out of the CGFL are certainly talented, and the talent continues to grow every single year. Quarterbacks specifically, I mean, the development that some of these guys have made, and the coaches as well. And I mean, you can go right back to the coaches. I mean, these guys are coming from CFL programs. Here in BC, the West Shore Rebels' new quarterback, Tim Kurse, he is a former CFLer. So you get a handful of guys now that have been in the CFL, now making their way into the junior ranks and the coaching squad, and they know what it takes for these athletes, no matter what position, to move on to the next round.
Brian, how about you? Do you have a comment or something you want to add on what you've heard so far about junior football in Canada?
Well, I think the BC Junior Football League and junior football in BC has been a big contributor to the BC Lions. As he talked about, the Lions have come up with several good players there, and Andrew Harris is, of course, the crown jewel. But I think the Lions have benefited greatly from local football, and hopefully, as he said, the word might be out now, so hopefully it continues for the Lions.
Mike, you're next, but first I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Candid Frank Live on Rouge Radio and Blog Talk Radio. We're with Tyler Bieber, our new co-host, Mike, the American CFL football fan, Brian Morawski, and, of course, Tyler Waters. Now, Mike, tell us about your opinion on this. What do you think of the junior football? Do you get a chance in the U.S. to follow Canadian junior football?
No, not really. But I just wanted to ask Ryan, like, how does that work? Is it guys that are
Ryan Waters?
Yeah, it's Ryan Waters. Like, what is the age group we're talking about for the CJFL?
They're 18 to 22-year-olds that are no longer eligible in high school and are not affiliated with a university or college.
So are the players paid at all, or is this sort of like a volunteer type thing?
No, the players are not paid. If they are paid, they would become professionals. So no, they're not paid. It's more of the next level out of high school. If kids are in between university and college and high school, this is an opportunity for them to continue to develop. Kids like an Andrew Harris or like a Stephen Doge, for example, moving on right from high school into the junior ranks and now into the CFL. So the age limit, once again, is 18 to 22, and no, they're not paid.
And do you guys work at all in conjunction with any of the CIS schools, or do you guys operate separate from them?
Operating separate from them. A lot of the markets in the CGFL, some of them in Ontario, but not a lot of them across the country are in university or CIS markets. Well, at least in BC, I should correct myself, because there is certainly a handful in Ontario. There's quite a few in the Prairie Football Conference as well. But no, they don't really work hand-in-hand all that much. Each market is different. Some teams in the CJFL work very well with the CIS London Beefeaters, for example, working very closely with Western. I know a handful of guys from the Beefeaters were called up, if you will, by the London, by the Western Mustangs, pardon me. So there is that relationship, and I do like where that's going. I think there should be more of that. It is a common ground. It is developing Canadian junior football players and Canadian football players in general. I would like to see a little bit more of that from personally, anyway.
Anytime someone has to go to be able to watch any games, you guys like post highlights online, or is there any way to actually watch a game at all? Or
yeah, in the Canadian Junior Football League, you have to scope out the sites of the teams. The CJFL just released a new website, which are working their way through as well, so that will eventually be a hub. So if you are wanting to watch a game, there are a handful of teams across the country that are providing a free or pay-per-view stream, a video stream that you are more than welcome to tune into. If you want more information on that, yeah, cjfl.net, and there is a fan zone, a listen live, if you will, button that you can find there, and there were links to the upcoming games.
Frank, can I throw one thing in there?
Yeah, please.
What do you think, Ryan, about the territorial protection rule in the Canadian Football League? I know there's a lot of talk about that in the last couple of years or so and how they might consider getting rid of that. The Lions have certainly benefited from that. What do you think about that rule, and would you like to see the rule eliminated or expanded on at all?
Well, it's an interesting topic. When you look at, again, you go back to Andrew Harris, a kid from Winnipeg, and to territorial rights of BC, I do kind of like it because it gives you the chance for the CFL teams to really see the players in their own province or in their own part of the country, see them develop. I do know that some of the teams across the prairies would like to eliminate the BC teams and Ontario teams coming in and trying to pluck and recruit their players. I know that's been a hot topic right now. But it is interesting. I'm kind of on the fence with it right now regarding if they should eliminate it or not, but it certainly has helped the BC Lions for sure, like you mentioned, with Andrew and Steven and some of the other players that are coming up through the ranks. So to be honest, I haven't quite made up my decision on that yet.
Is it possible that some people suggest that local players enhance the attraction of the local team for the local fans? Is there any truth to that, do you think?
I think there is. I think you can get mom and dad and aunts and uncles and family members that live down the street or friends that live down the street out to those games. I think that, the main goal is to develop these kids, whether they're local or not, and allow them to move on. And, of course, winning is a big part of that. But I do like the local people and the local kids that get a chance to play high school in Kelowna, for example, and then play with the Okanagan Sun. And the Sun have had a lot of success with that. I know the Saskatoon Hilltops have had tremendous success with players that stay close to home, maybe not necessarily going to high school in Saskatoon, but the surrounding area. And then they come to the Hilltops. And, this team has won 3 Canadian titles in a row. They're going for their 4th. They kick off on Saturday. So I do like the fact that there's a lot of local flavor. But you also want to be competitive. So if you can get a player or two from Calgary and you're in Nanaimo, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. But I do like the fact that if you are local and you do get an opportunity to play for your junior team, I think it does help drive fans and obviously revenue to the team.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because from a totally selfish player's perspective, and when one looks at the upper echelon of Canadian football players, which in all honesty is the Canadian Football League, there's nothing better than playing at home, because it really does, and this sounds silly, I know, but I can't believe this not to be true. It's so much better for a football player to play at home in a league that doesn't pay as well as maybe it might or should, and it makes playing in the league more tempting to do. I mean, you go on the road, and if you're only making $50,000 a year, you can lose that just on living expenses. So, I'm all for as many CFL players as possible playing near home, and I attribute a lot of the success our local team to me, which is, I live in Mississauga, is Toronto, the Argonauts. I think that a boon for them has been the way the team has brought in players locally, and I think that's been a positive for the franchise and a contributor to the success that the Argonauts have had. And I can't believe that BC hasn't, you know, done well because of that. And maybe that's why, as was stated, the Midwest or the teams in Central Canada don't really want this rule because it seems to give an inherent advantage to the Eastern and Western teams that come from these kinds of situations.
Well, now, I would think BC has done well through that process. I mean, they've benefited greatly from the territorial protection rule, I think. BC football has really taken off, and I think you can go back to the return of Bob Ackles to BC. I think he really wanted to build that amateur football program, and I think more kids are playing football these days, and I don't know, maybe Ryan can attest to that, I'm not sure, but I think BC football is growing a lot, and there's a lot of good football players in this province, and the Lions have taken advantage of it.
Robert Ackles, right?
Bob Ackles.
Bobby Ackles. Yeah, I know. I was being really polite. Tell us a little bit. Now he has a big history in the CFL. So, you know, this isn't a guy who just – you're not naming somebody who just happened to come out of junior football.
Well, when he came back to BC the second time, one of his main objectives was to grow amateur football in the province. He felt that was a key component to not only producing players but to produce interest in the product. So, Bob, when he came back, did a lot of work with the junior programs and the high schools and minor football. He created the Orange Helmet Awards, which are, I'm not sure if that's, I think that's more high school and amateur football. I don't think that has anything to do with Ryan's league, but, he created these Orange Helmet Awards, where every year they celebrate the best in amateur football, and they raise money for amateur football. So he was a huge contributor to that in this province, the football, the BC Football Hall of Fame was created by him. I think football has grown in this province, and the Lions have benefited from it.
Bobby Ackles is one of many football fan. We in Toronto are grateful for the fact that the owner of the BC Lions decided to salvage the Toronto Argonauts off the scrap heap, and I know nobody wants to hear that, but let's be honest, the Toronto Argonauts could not find an owner, and the Brayley Bowl is a joke for some, but for me it's a very serious thing in the sense that, you know, without Brayley, David Brayley, who's a Hamilton season ticket holder, owns the BC Lions, and also his family owns the Toronto Argonauts. This is a typical thing where, thankfully, the few that love the game so much carry the load for the so many. And Bobby Ackles has done so much for BC and football, because if it's not for him and growing the game in BC, as our friends in Quebec have done, the CFL would not be as good a place to go or to be a part of or to watch.
Yeah. And David Brayley did the same for the Lions. I don't know if the Lions would be around today if it wasn't for David Brayley. So.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Mike, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, actually that led into a question I had for Brian, which was in 2011 I was like really excited about the whole new stadium, and I thought that run they had was going to turn things around. But I listened to an interview recently by their team president. He talked about the frustrations they had with the lack of attendance and the overall fan support in Vancouver. So do you maybe want to shed some light on that, or like what's the perception of the team and how's that going?
It's a struggle. This is clearly a hockey town, and it's a constant battle to get the Lions into the media. And, you know, you turn on sports radio in this town and you're guaranteed to hear Canucks in the middle of summer. So, it is a battle for the Lions, and we have had one of the best summers I can ever recall. I've been here 30 years, and I've never had a summer like this in Vancouver. So, I think in Vancouver, where it rains all the time, and then we get this beautiful weather for almost 2 months now, it's tough to get people to do other things than spend time outdoors. So the Lions have traditionally had lower crowds in the summer, and they build after Labor Day. So I would expect that trend to continue. After the Grey Cup in 2011, they did not really see a spike in attendance. So, Grey Cup here again next year, the team's going to have to remain competitive to be there or to be contending for that Grey Cup. But yes, you know, there needs to be things done to improve interest in the club. I don't know whether some ticket more lower price tickets for some of the cheaper seats in the house can be arranged, but you know, it's a tough sell here in the summertime, that's for sure.
I think the sacrifice has to be made.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. There's a sacrifice that has to be made by the teams, Brian. We have the same problem here with the Argonauts, where you know, people have a lot more other things they can do than go to a football game in the middle of the summer. And I think you're right, the same thing's going to happen, hopefully, that the Argos will draw more attendance after Labor Day. And yes, equally, after the Grey Cup, you know, one would have hoped that the Argos attendance figures would spike, and disappointingly, they have not. And it's too bad because, you know, you got a Grey Cup champion, and you know, you're drawing 18,000. Now, admittedly, it's midweek, you know, midweek games, Tuesday games. You know, a little tough to draw people at that time, I guess. You know, so this is these are typical challenges that we have, and I'm glad to have this program, and I'm really happy to have you on because I'm beginning to understand how much you know, the other teams in the CFL relate to the team that I follow. You know, it's a good thing that you guys are here, and I really appreciate the fact that Mike, our American CFL fan, is here, Tyler Bieber, and we'll get to you, Tyler, next, Brian Warushin, and, of course, Ryan Waters, whose interest is the CJFL. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio and Rouge Radio. The show is Candid Frank Live. I'm Frank Stanisha, your host. I hope you're enjoying the program thus far. If you want to make a contribution, you can call us at 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. And if you want to get on Skype, you can do that as well without phoning. It just requires you registering with Blog Talk Radio. I don't think there's any cost. It's just, you know, give us your name, tell us who you are and where you want to go to. It's real simple. So, you know, tonight so far we've talked about Saskatchewan, the fact that they lost the game. Will it continue? Is this the beginning of a slide, or is it just a blip on their radar? The Owls' demise, we've talked about that. The BC Lions' den, of course, with Brian. And we've talked a lot about BC football, right from the pro ranks down to the CJFL. We've talked about Winnipeg and... we haven't talked about Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, and Hamilton. We'll start with them again next week because we're down to our last 12 minutes. And I really do, because it's my fault that we didn't get to the CJFL part of the program soon enough. I'd still like to talk about minor football. Is there something else that we can talk about that you feel needs to be known, Ryan, Mr. Waters, as far as CJFL that we haven't discussed thus far?
Well, two of the three conferences begin play on Saturday. The Edmonton Huskies and Edmonton Wildcats will kick off the Prairie Football Conference schedule on Saturday in Edmonton, and then the other two teams, or the other four teams, compete on Sunday, including the defending Canadian Bowl champion Saskatoon Hilltops. So that's on Sunday, and then Saturday in the Ontario Football Conference, all the teams begin too. So it's nice to have now all three conferences playing this weekend. DCFC.
Tyler Bieber of CFLDaily.ca will join us for our CFL Roundtable segment.
We're not sure where that's coming from.
Where is that coming from? Our
Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I was just, my bad. I was just checking out the podcast.
Mike, my
podcast. I had the volume up too loud
Mike,
on my phone.
Do I have to turn off your mic?
No, I'm sorry. My volume was up too loud, and I couldn't adjust it in time. My bad.
Now, where were we? Because I'm totally lost. Brian, take the lead, buddy.
I think Ryan was talking.
If you said Brian, Ryan Waters was talking, then that's fine. But just talking about the Canadian Junior Football League and the fact that the other two conferences begin play this coming weekend, the Prairie Football Conference, they open play in Edmonton. The two Edmonton teams, the Huskies and Wildcats, begin on Saturday. Then on Sunday, the defending Canadian Bowl champion, the three-time defending Canadian Bowl champion, Saskatoon Hilltops, will get going with the rest of the conference. And then in Ontario as well, in your neck of the woods, they'll begin play on Saturday as well with all teams in action. So it'll be nice to have now all three conferences playing. The BCFC, they'll be entering week number four of a 10-week season. The Prairies in the Ontario Conference play just 8 games. So it'll be nice now that all Canadian teams, all Canadian junior teams will be in action this coming weekend. So I think that's worth note. If you are a junior fan, you want to see some good football, the stars of tomorrow, as they say, you can check out your local markets and see some good football, some good up-and-coming kids, and hopefully you know some of those kids in the local market with some of the fans there. So, like I said, it'll be nice to have all three conferences finally playing in the Canadian Junior Football League.
Well, I mean, my neck of the woods, Brian, Ryan. My neck of the woods, I mean, I could walk over to the CGFL headquarters in Burlington. So, you know, I think my neck of the woods is pretty important. I mean,
your own backyard, then. Maybe not
my
even,
own
back, you don't have to go to the woods. You just go to your back door, have a barbecue, and watch some Burlington Braves.
Yeah. No, hey, listen, you know, let's face it. You know, the thing about football in Canada is that it is very popular, but it seems to be a well-kept secret. I don't understand it, you know, but one thing is for sure, that football players, not just the fans, not just the coaches, we know that the fans are dedicated to their teams. We know that the people who try promoting football, like guys like Bobby Ackles that we talked about, there are high-profile people who go back into the minor football ranks. We got a guy who left the Toronto Argonauts. He was the captain of the defense. He's coaching football in Halton. You know, I mean, we do know that people who love the game of football really love the game of football. I had the good opportunity, thank you to Jason, our producer, Jason Sperling, our executive producer. He introduced me to many a prospect in the CFL, many of them in the first round, and I had a chance to interview them. These people love the game, just like we do. And that's the irony here, is that while the game is not popular with the mass society, the people that do love the game make up for it in their you know, their heightened intensity and desire to promote the game, and that's what makes football different in Canada, you know, than anywhere else, specifically the United States. There are some real dedicated people, and I'm assuming, Brian, that you're, Brian and Ryan, you guys are really dedicated when it comes to football.
Yeah, I devote a lot of my free time to it, that's for sure. I you know, I go to Grey Cup every year. It doesn't matter if the Lions are in it or not. And, you know, the CFL season is my time of year, and, you know, football season in general. I'm an NFL fan as well, so I'm a football guy for sure.
Ryan?
Yeah, I would echo those thoughts. You just have to ask my wife. She's angry when football season begins. So you could say I would be dedicated. I work a lot here in Kelowna with the Canadian Junior Football League and the local team, the Okanagan Sun. So, yes, definitely that. And it is nice to see you mentioned coaches and guys giving back and volunteers. And I know a lot of coaches around the CGF teams are ex-CGFL players for those teams. And that's the neat thing, and these guys are, for the most part, all volunteers, and they dedicate their time, and they're out there with the kids every day from 6 until 8 or 8 until 10 or whatever the schedule may be for their time on the field, and they continue to work with player after player, kid after kid. Doesn't matter if practice is over at 8 o'clock, they're still out there working with the long snappers, or they're out there with the punters, or they're out there with whoever, and those guys are super dedicated. The quarterbacks, yeah, but, I mean, you know, when you're a quarterback, you're quote-unquote the superstar of the team. You don't need any practicing. Everybody else, certainly. And that is a neat thing. Yes, the quarterbacks. But certainly the unsung heroes, like a long snapper, like a holder, like a kicker. I mean, those are the unsung heroes sometimes. And the fact that those coaches are out there, again, volunteering their time, it's just great to see. And then those, like you say, they're dedicated to the game of football. They're dedicated to the kids that are playing the game of football.
Yeah,
Ryan, is the next Andrew Harris out there right now?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is the next Andrew Harris in our midst? Is there a player that you can tell us to watch as the season gets going here?
Well, there was a kid in Edmonton named Jordan Samuel, a terrific running back who sadly was injured at the end of last year, will not be playing this year for the Wildcats, but look for him in the years to come. Every team seems to have one or two standouts. You look at the Langley Rams here in BC. They've got a couple of kids. Malcolm Williams comes to mind, a receiver, Whitman Tomusiak in the Nanaimo, the Vancouver Island Raiders. There are players out there that could make the next jump to the CFL. And like I said, the Prairie Football Conference and the Ontario Football Conference get going this weekend, so no doubt there'll be a player or two coming out of every single game that you look at and go, you know what, he's a special player and he has a chance to go a long way in this game.
Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Brian, how often do you update, like, post your podcast? Is it like a weekly thing or?
Yeah, we do. We're aiming for one a week, but life sometimes gets in the way of that.
it's good. I just want to see your website. It's really nice.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do that? We've only got about 4 minutes left. I want to make sure that I give you guys an opportunity to ensure that anybody who's listening gets a chance to follow you guys directly. Mike, tell us about your endeavors and how people can follow you.
Yeah, I got my blog at truecflfan.blogspot.com, and you can check it out whenever.
Brian?
bclionsden.ca. You know, you can also follow us on Twitter at BC Lions Den. And on iTunes, you can search for BC Lions and find our podcast up there, and we'd love for you to subscribe to that.
Tyler?
CFLDaily.ca on Twitter at CFLDaily. I also do some work along with Kent Ridley, who you had on last week on the show. He is at Ridley Scouting. We are affiliated with Sports A. SportsA.ca at SportsA on Twitter, as well as TopProspects.ca and TopProspectsCDN on Twitter. If you're in high school and you want to make your next step to the next level, perfect place to start, get found, get recruited, TopProspects.ca. And one quick shout-out to my main man. He is the best guy to go to for Winnipeg Blue Bombers information. Follow him on Twitter at Darren Bombing, DarrenBaumig.
Perfect. And, of course, last but not least, Ryan Waters.
If you want to know what's going on in the Okanagan Valley in beautiful British Columbia, you can follow me on my website, ryanwaters.ca. The Waters is with two T's. And my Twitter is at Ryan, the number two, T's, at Ryan, two T's, Waters. At Ryan, two T's, Waters. So, like I said earlier, everything that's going on in the local community, again, it's all about local sports here in Kelowna and the Okanagan Valley. You can check out the website and appreciate that.
I truly appreciate your contribution here tonight. I'll tell you that you're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio and, of course, Rouge Radio. And let me remind you, folks, this is all about football, and we're all here for the same reason. That is the promotion of football in Canada. We talk about the Canadian Football League because the Canadian Football League is the epitome of what everybody in Canada that plays football wants to be a part of. Thank you for tuning in to Candid Frank Live. We'll see you again. We'll remind you that the show is on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, same time, 10 to 12 a.m. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to be in your home once again. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I really appreciate your contribution to the program.
No problem. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, I'd like to call you again. It was my pleasure. Guys, it's all the best, and I wish you know, we're all partners in this, and I'm very proud of the fact that you guys took the time to be on the program. I truly am.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, we'll give you a
call. Take care, gentlemen.
Yep.
Take care, everyone.
So,
bye.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Mike.
No problem. Bye.
Bye.